Welcome to the Gen Z Stoic Podcast,
where every week we strive to lead younger generations on a path to virtue through the insight of Stoic teachings and personal stories from our lives as Gen Z Stoics.
Welcome back to the Gen Z Stoic Podcast. I am your co-host, Mateo.
And I'm your co-host, Ren. And this week we're going to be talking about the concept of Stoic minimalism. These are two kind of separate trains of thought, Stoicism and minimalism. But when you kind of look at them individually, you can see a lot of similar tracks in terms of approaching life and how you value your possessions. And so today we're going to talk about what a Stoic minimalist looks like, why it's a beneficial idea for you to apply, and some of the practical ways to get there. You know, it's all good and fun to talk about why it's good, but let's also talk about how do we get there? How do we really become a Stoic minimalist? That being said, I think it's important for us to really define minimalism. And minimalism, I'm not going to be reading any sort of like textbook definition here, but minimalism is, I think, properly assessing value to your possessions and valuing experiences and people more than possessions, right? It's kind of the opposite of materialism, right? Which we see a lot of in today's consumer culture where, you know, your worth is based solely on how nice your house is, how nice the car you drive is, if you have the newest XYZ. Versus minimalism is about like how fulfilled are you, which obviously relates very closely to Stoicism. And so if we applied kind of Stoicism to minimalism, we would see that it's not essentially just getting rid of all of your possessions and decluttering. That becomes sort of a cynic view, the school of cynicism in ancient Greek philosophy, but instead valuing possessions only as much as they are possessions, right? And only valuing things that you absolutely need. And so, you know, instead of worrying about like, how do I get these materialistic things, worry about like, how am I going to become a better person? It's really the Stoic minimalist approach.
Well, and minimalism is especially, I guess, going against the popular trends of consumerism today, right? It's, you know, fast fashion. You have brands like Temu and Shein that are like, get all these little things here and there for super cheap. And it's really compelling. Because they're like, oh, this is cool, and I can all get it for, you know, super cheap. And it seems nice at first, but I think the problem with overconsumption is really having, like you said, having no purpose in the things that you're acquiring, which over time becomes a real hassle. The biggest real-life example I can think for us was when we were going to college. And me, you and I don't really own a lot of things. And so it was pretty easy for us to move to college, whereas some of my friends in college, when they were moving to college, I saw that they were borderline hoarding and hoarders. So it was really nice to not be in their shoes because I could take all of my things to college and not have to worry about having enough space. I mean, I drove all of my belongings out in one small SUV. So the practical, right, if we just look at it pretty surface level here, the benefits to minimalism are, one, it makes it a lot easier for you to keep track of your things, to move your things. You know, if you're moving around a lot, it's very easy to do so. It's also just a lot less mental stress. You're like, oh, where is this? I can't find this. If you have a super cluttered room because you have so much stuff and you can't find things. Overall, I see so many benefits to minimalism, and I really don't see any cons. The only con I've really come across is, dang it, like I don't have this. This would be nice to have if I just kept it away somewhere. Thankfully, we can always just go and get something if we need it. But I think as well, minimalism is not just a way of life. It's a mindset. It's not just a term to define yourself. It's also a mindset that you can associate with yourself, having a minimalist mindset. And this is where we can bring Stoicism in and just a lot of quotes about, I'll mention one. And this is a quote that says, there are two ways to be rich. One is by acquiring much and the other is by desiring little. That was a quote by Jackie French Collar in 1948. I don't know who that is. Anyway, but it's this mindset that it's not about wanting a lot of things or, you know, acquiring all these things. That doesn't make you rich or wealthy. It's actually the mindset of desiring very little that makes you really appreciate what you have, and then you don't feel the need to want more. It's interesting. You see sometimes you see these videos of people going up to homeless people and asking them questions. You're like, what are you grateful for? And they're just like, I don't need anything else. I have everything I need. I have everything I could want. And it's because they're desiring so little that they are so grateful for what they have. And they're sort of, you know, willingly or unwillingly living this minimalist lifestyle, but because it's not, you know, wanting more and more all the time, that it's very easy to do so.
Yeah. If you wanted a Stoic quote, it's Seneca who says, it is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor, right? We have this sort of attachment to possessions in today's society that goes beyond like the basic security of wanting a roof over our head and food and water in our bodies. It really goes beyond that to like, we're attached to this person has a nicer car than I do, or wow, how much did that, you know, watch cost? How much are your clothes, right? All of these things that it's sort of become flipped on its head, right? When we talk about stoicism, it's a lot about living in accordance with nature. And I don't think it's living in accordance with nature to value yourself based on the quality of clothing you're wearing, or the size of your home, or, you know, how expensive your car is, you know, how big your car is, how fast your car goes. None of those things are really living in accordance with nature. And so it seems like as we get more and more developed, we utilize more and more technology, we obviously stray further and further away from what nature is and what living naturally as intended as a human being is. And so as a result of that, right, it's no surprise then that we have flipped it, the value, to where we don't value like being really content and happy and fulfilled. And we see that with rising mental illness rates, rising depression rates, rising just despair really in society. No surprise that it's come in accordance with us changing our values from people, experiences, and being fulfilled to cars, possessions, clothing, you know, video games, anything that you can think of as a materialistic possession. And so minimalism doesn't say, and stoicism doesn't say, like, abandon all of these things, you know, have no joy, have no fun, have no pleasure, have no entertainment. It says that, you know, be indifferent to those things and don't be attached to them. Whereas, you know, like you said, whether you are, for your example, a homeless person, or you're living in this nice mansion, if your situation flipped to the other end of the spectrum, you should feel no different. That's really what the Stoic minimalist is about. Realizing that, then you don't prioritize those possessions as much, because you're like, wow, if I was dirt poor, if I was extremely wealthy, if I feel the same, then I want to make sure that that constant balanced level of state that I'm feeling is happy, is content, is fulfilled. That's Stoic minimalism there for you, is focusing on the right things, right? The right people, the right experiences, things of that nature. So no pun intended there, but just living in accordance with nature and not constantly craving more. And I think that's key, is people here, you know, don't crave more. And it's like, well, this podcast always, you know, advocates for purpose and staying motivated and all those things. How can you say don't crave more? Well, it's craving the wrong things, right? Don't crave that nice car that you saw. Don't crave that newest shiny thing that you saw in the ad. Crave becoming a better person. Crave working for a purpose. And you will find that you're more fulfilled when you get to that purpose and you fulfilled your goal than the results that that goal or that purpose brought, if it is, you know, wealth or anything like that.
Well, and like you said, there's a quote that says the truest things are often the most simple. And I think that applies to stoicism and this minimalist idea very well. There's a quote that says, any half-awake materialist well knows that which you hold holds you. And it's very true if you can't see the materialistic nature in which we're living in. And it's very hard to get out of that. But you have all these startups and all these brands, you know, especially for me, I see a lot of brands coming out in the gym world, right? You have Young LA, you have Gymshark, you have Whole Strength, which is like a Jesus-centered lifting brand. You just have all of these brands that are growing and popping up everywhere. And you're like, oh, I want one of these and maybe one of these, maybe, you know, everything here and there. And as cool as it is to have the opportunity to, and just to be able to get all these things, a lot of them do not hold value. It's sort of like the concept of a tattoo, right? You're supposed to wait 5-6 months to a year, maybe even longer, before you really decide if you want something. Well, if you really want the tattoo, well, imagine if we did that with every piece of clothing or every nice car or everything. If we just really thought about it and what it meant to us, nobody's going to get, well, some people will, but most people aren't going to get a tattoo that is just meaningless and they're going to regret. Most people try and think out their tattoos and have some meaning behind them. If we sort of adopted that same mindset for everything that we buy, and the reason we don't is because it's so temporary. I mean, we go through a shirt in maybe a year or two before we decide we need a new one. Tattoos are permanent. So the thing that's permanent about every decision we make when we buy something or we choose to acquire something else is the attachment that we decide to have to it. Oftentimes you're like, oh, this is my favorite shirt. And there's nothing wrong with having a couple favorite shirts or a favorite pair of shoes, but it really gets to be bad and sort of toxic when you say, I like this pair and this pair and this pair. And I haven't worn that pair in a couple years, but I still really like it. We're not even attributing value to the things that we have at this point. We're just having them, maybe because once upon a time we valued it, but now we don't, but we still like to have it around. And also, we could say the same thing about people and friends and the people you surround yourself with and like social media. If we had the same minimalist mindset towards the people we surrounded ourselves with, instead of, oh, I just want as many followers and as many friends and as many people to like me as possible. Whereas you and I are both in the same mindset where we say, I would rather just have four or five friends that are with me no matter what, super close, and maybe even not that many, just a close circle of people that are super high quality, over 100, 200 people that don't really care about me, but they're just here for me, just for the social interaction. So the minimalist mindset can really be applied to every single area of your life. Choosing quality over quantity, choosing purpose over simply just having something in your life for its convenience, right? And now there's a lot of things that provide us convenience, and it's nice to have those things. But how many of those things that we have are we really valuing versus just keeping them around for when it's convenient?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the friends, because I saw this quote on social media, and it was with regards to friends, right? You'd rather have, if I had a dollar, I'd rather have four quarters than 100 pennies. It was something that's kind of cliche, and I saw it on my social media feed like a couple times this week, so maybe it's telling me something, but very powerful. And I think possessions are kind of the same way, I guess, because, you know, I would rather have a well-functioning thing that works and fulfills its purpose, but is extremely cheap, so, you know, people are going to poke fun at it or whatever, than some flashy, extravagant thing that costs a lot of money and still does the same purpose, right? We look at all of these kind of flashy things, like whether, you know, you have a pair of Gucci shoes or something like that, right? They still serve the same purpose as those $50 pair of Skechers, right? And they still, you know, they don't have holes in them, and they get you from point A to point B. And something, it's why material possessions are indifferent to Stoics. Because, you know, as long as it fulfills its purpose, it does its job, right? The associated value society places on it with its price tag means nothing, because it's equal to anything else that does the job. So people, again, get fixated on the price tag and like status and all of these superfluous things that society has deemed to be valuable. But maybe the lesson here that we can glean from Stoic minimalism is that society assessing value to a thing is not the same thing as it being good and being worthwhile to your life. It's not the same thing. Society values a lot of crappy things, values a lot of bad people. We see that nowadays, whether it's celebrity, politicians, whatever group you want to look at, athletes, they're maybe not the best people. And so we assess value to bad people, bad things, things that take us away from our true purpose in life. Ding, ding, ding. We assess value to this phone that, you know, it's great. You can communicate well. Sure, there's a lot of benefits to it. But I think if we down the road are going to look back on smartphones, we're going to say that this is one of the worst inventions of human history, because of how distracting it is and how it takes you away from real life and from, you know, your job or your purpose, from nature, from so many things that are actually valuable. So when we look at these materialistic possessions, we don't want them to define us, right? And that's what we see when we see materialism, is we are defined by our chase for material goods, for material wealth, and for the status of possessing all these material things. What we instead want to do is be defined by our legacy and our influence and, you know, how we impact the people around us. Possessions have nothing to do with that, right? Now, if you are somebody who's wealthy, obviously you're going to be much more capable of donating to good causes or, you know, spending money to help improve other people's lives. But again, I feel like that's a little bit superfluous. And instead, we should always, whether we're poor, rich, somewhere in between, be focused on helping people's lives however we can. And I think that's immensely valuable. So that's, you know, Stoic minimalism to a T right there is not saying, you know, I need to throw away all of my possessions. It's no, I need to stop worrying about them altogether. I need to stop saying, do I need new clothes? Do I need a new car? You know, how much is rent? Blah, 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 blah. We need to stop worrying about all those things and instead focus on how we can be good people and focus on being defined by our legacy instead of those possessions, because those possessions are fleeting. And it's a very kind of cliche stance to have, you know, about how the money you have, the possessions you have, they don't leave with you when you leave this earth. Right? The only thing that you leave on this earth is your legacy. So it's much more worthwhile not even outside of Stoicism, philosophy, all of that. It's much more worthwhile to worry about that, the things that you truly can leave upon people, rather than the material possessions that, sure, you know, make you feel good while you're here on Earth, but don't really make a lasting impact.
Yeah, and the thing that I have sort of an issue with now is with the celebrities and the people that we idolize is they're always showing off something new or some high-end brand or a new car, right, clothes and whatnot. And it sort of shows the people that look up to them, the people who aren't in the top 1% of wealth and fame and whatnot, that that's what, sort of setting the example that that's what we should aspire to be, or that's what we should look up. That's those are the people we should look up to. And now it's definitely true that in our world now, you have to buy your freedom, which sucks. But the Epictetus has a quote that says, "Freedom is the only worthy goal in life. It is won by disregarding things that lie beyond our control." So it's sort of funny because back then you didn't have to really buy your freedom as much as you do now. And so now you sort of have to acquire enough money to be financially free so you can do the things you want. And that's sort of the goal that everybody wants to do, is just to not have to worry about money to pay for the basic things we need, like a house and food and whatnot. So it's tough there. But with minimalism, if you look at it the opposite way, right? So once you sort of gain your financial freedom, then you're not going to use your excess money to go and buy more materialistic things, because those things, you'll get a new car and you'll look at another one and be like, oh, but I want that one now. I mean, it's, you should almost lose sight of what you have as soon as you see something else that's new and exciting. It's literally the same way in relationships too. You find a nice girlfriend who's very caring, very loving, and then you see another girl who's like, I don't know, different, maybe better in some ways, I don't know, however you want to define it. And you're like, no, I want her. And then you completely disregard the nice, loving, caring person that you have. And it sucks because we're seeing that everywhere. Women do it. Men do it. We all do it. And so this minimalist mindset, if we can just adopt to appreciate and really hold value in the things that we have, and this isn't about people, but making the things we have last a very long time, we'll be a lot better off. And so the going back to that quote saying freedom is the only worthy goal in life, we should all aspire to be financially free so we can do the things that we love and be with the people we love and not have to stress about it. And so by disregarding the things that lie beyond our control, I sort of take that in this way: once we become financially free, then only doing the things that we can control, and that's just helping people. Once we're free, like you were saying, the best thing that we can do is help the people around us. Right. And if we have this minimalist mindset, we will hold the things that we have near and dear to our hearts and that we hold a lot of value to. And we're not going to go and look for other things to replace them or to satisfy us. We're simply going to, like I said, appreciate the things we have, go out and help our communities and make the world better.
Yeah. And I'd be interested to see how our audience would feel about us doing an episode, like you said, about how the perspectives differ of Stoics who, you know, didn't have to buy their financial freedom and weren't taxed to all hell, and had the government really become an intrusive part of their life, like the Western world now. So I'd be really curious if our audience would like to see us do an episode, you know, comparing the perspective of modern Stoics who have those kind of contextual experiences versus ancient Stoics who maybe lived in a more free democratic society. So if you'd like to see that episode, comment somewhere about it, and we'd be happy to do that episode. But with that out of the way, I agree completely with what you said. I thought of while you were speaking. One is one that kind of is a rehashing of what Seneca said, the quote I used at the beginning, but it's Epictetus when he says, "Wealth consists of not having great possessions, but in having few wants." And we talk about these celebrities all the time. You just mentioned them. These celebrities, like, they struggle with substance abuse. They struggle with a lot of mental health issues. And a lot of people say, you know, it stems from that fame and that attention. And I tend to agree, but I also think there's something of it of, you know, they always crave more and they always want more. Like you said, right? There are people who, like, they buy the nicest car because they can afford it. And then the next year, another one rolls out and they want that and they want that. And it's just this constant chase of never being satisfied with their accomplishments. And so you see these people kind of fall apart, really, because they never learn to be satisfied. They never learned what it means to just be content with what you have. No, they grew up and knew a life of always just chasing more and more. It's a terrible life to live. It's like when we mentioned perfectionism in a previous episode a long time ago. It's like that perfectionist mindset, right? Where you're constantly chasing perfection until you're never satisfied. The same thing goes for wealth, right? What is wealth? Me and you are not going to agree on what wealth means. Nobody's going to agree on what wealth means. So you have your own personal definition of wealth, but you're going to be goaded on by other people who define wealth differently to just constantly be chasing more and more money, more and more possessions, so that you are wealthy. And that's a very toxic, unhealthy way to live. So if we scale that down to a micro level, because very few people are celebrities, and unfortunately, very few people are going to have to worry about like the upper echelon of like buying the next nicest car. Simple truth, Mateo, you and I, maybe one day we'll have to worry about that. That's projecting very into the future, though. But you know,
we can whether speak to existence,
hopefully manifesting all that, you know. But just if we scaled it down to like, you know, the middle class or like whatever your situation is, it's the few wants, right? So obviously, you should strive for financial freedom. You should strive to put a roof over your head, provide for your family. There's nothing wrong in those simple, basic life tasks, but those should be the few wants you have. And those are, again, you'll notice that it's tied into providing for somebody or something with like actually intrinsic value that isn't purely possession-based, right? Because if you're somebody who's starting out extremely poor, you don't want to say like, oh, yes, I want this very nice car, right? No, you just want food. You don't want to be hungry. You don't want to be thirsty. You want to be secure. And there's nothing wrong with that. So that's that just putting that out there. But those are the proper few wants that Epictetus discusses. So those people who are homeless, even though they're in those rough situations, they still can be happy because they have few wants. That's the beauty of it. We judge these homeless people and are like, wow, it must suck to live in that situation. But then when you go and talk to them, a lot of them aren't unhappy. Like a lot of them are content with their situation. You know, and it may shock us because we're used to cushy lifestyles where we can just go lay our head on the pillow and not have to worry about a lot of stuff. But it lies in that inherent message of just not wanting for more, finding the happiness in what you have. That's another concept of what I think we could define Stoic minimalism as, is finding contentment in every possession that you currently have. And if you can't find it, then maybe get rid of that possession. But once you get to that place, right, where you're going to have to be surrounded by possessions. And so you're surrounded by them, but like you can look at it, you can think and you can assess value and say like, this makes me happy for blank reason. And you fill in the blank. I'm not going to use any personal examples here, but like you fill in the blank and you run through that list, right? That's when like you are wealthy. You're not wealthy in what society would deem like, you know, traditional wealth, but you're wealthy in here. And that's, I think, worth 10 times more than, you know, a couple extra zeros in the bank account.
I think the interesting thing that I've been thinking about with minimalism is how our society works with status. And you mentioned it earlier, but I was really thinking about it. There's definitely an importance to, you know, dressing well and dressing professionally and having, and, you know, showing that you are into an important business meeting, for example. You want to dress well and show that you know what you're doing and you want to appear confident, right? There's an importance to that status, but it sort of, you know, it's easy to go down the rabbit hole once you say, oh, I just need a bunch of nice suits and I need to own all the nice suits. And
well, I'm going to contest that point because I'm a strong believer in it's the man who makes the suit. It's a very popular quote. And I think there's something to be said about status, but I think what we're saying here, right, is it's again that kind of shift, right, where we view like the suit before the man. We view the material good and we look at him and are like, wow, he spent a lot of money on that versus what's coming out of the person's mouth and what we can observe about their character. And so that's where I think the message lies then, is that like if you need a suit to look professional and, you know, get business opportunities, fine, right? Like understandable. But you don't want to prioritize like I think you're saying here, when you're getting into that point of like that chase of like, I need these colored suits, I need all these suits, right? Because then you're just masking up your identity of like, you're a shell of a man who doesn't have high character. And so you're dressing well to like fool people, versus if you establish yourself and then you just have like one nice suit, when you walk into the room and you have these values, you have this high character, people aren't really going to care about the suit, right? They're going to care about, you know, what's coming out of your mouth, your message, your character.
Exactly. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. It's about, like you said, the man makes the suit. So obviously you want to have a nice suit when you walk into these meetings, right? But you don't want to have all the suits simply to say you have all the suits. And so you can simply just have them, right? That's where we agree. So, but there is something, sort of a fashion trend, I guess, that's been going on and kind of upcoming for a little bit now that I sort of enjoy. And it's the finding, you know, enjoyment in like thrifted clothes and sort of very cheap clothes that are reused, not cheap clothes as in fast fashion that are new, but, you know, recycling clothes and making use out of them. And I really enjoy that because it's not about the price tag that's on these clothes. It's simply about, you know, how is it going to benefit me, and how can I use these in many different ways? It can get to a point where you're simply just thrifting the thrift and you're just trying to, you know, collect all these things simply for the style. But I enjoy the people that are able to make, you know, multiple outfits out of one thing and rewear certain things a lot of time, or one thing a lot of times. I think it's a great trend that's going on, because what it's really emphasizing is it doesn't matter the price tag. It doesn't matter the brand. What matters is how it makes you feel, you know, what value it provides to you. That's all that really matters. And some people are like, oh, it's not that deep. Like, it's just a pair of pants. But when we're talking about it through this minimalist lens, it does make a difference. I mean, I know I personally, going out to LA, and like you said, it's really about the environment that you're surrounded in that's kind of going to dictate your view on, you know, buying nice things and whatnot. Going out to LA, everybody has, you know, the newest high end, not everybody, but a lot of people have the newest high end clothing, right? You have brands like Fear of God and stuff like that, that people are just like, oh, I need this, I need this. And everyone has an Essentials hoodie, or everybody has like White Fox. And it's simply because it's the newest, and I don't even know if White Fox is high end, but it's just something that appears really cool. Ren's looking confused on the other end, but White Fox is like, I don't know, I see like a matching hoodie and sweats set that literally everybody has. I don't know.
I don't get out to California much, so I've never heard of White Fox before in my life, but
I think it's White Fox. I'm not sure, but the point that I'm trying to make is people aren't wearing it because they like it for what it is. People are wearing it because they like it for what it means. And that's sort of where we stray away from the minimalist idea, right? This hoodie right here. All right. I've been wanting one of these hoodies for a very long time. And it's $99, and I'm not going to spend $99 on a hoodie that I could get, you know, the quality of a hoodie that I can get for $20 at Target. So you're asking me, how'd you get this hoodie then? Well, there's this amazing thing called Depop, and I got this for $20 off Depop. And the reason I did is because the value of the hoodie to me is not worth that much money. No price tag could make a hoodie, or no brand could make a hoodie worth $99. To me, I'm not going to pay that much for a hoodie. I'll just go to Target and get like a Goodfellow hoodie and have it be just as comfortable. So when we're spending exuberant amounts of money on clothes, simply because it's a brand name like Gucci or a Rolex watch, I do want a Rolex watch because they're kind of cool. But and it means something cool. But the point that go ahead.
Boom, boom, boom.
If the watch ticks, man, it's good enough.
Facts. I got this nice little Garmin here. It was like pretty cheap. It works well. But anyways, it's okay.
I appreciate you mentioning Goodfellow, bro. I'd be rocking Goodfellow.
Goodfellow, dude. Yeah, Goodfellow. But that brings up a good point, though, is it's not wrong to have wants, right? It's not wrong to want a couple things here and there, but it is wrong to want everything and to always want something new once you get something else. Like if I had one nice watch, this would be the watch of my life. This would be the one watch that I wear. I take great care of it. I wear it to every meeting that I have, right? I think that's a better way of looking at it. Whereas if you get one Rolex, you're like, oh, you know what would make this one good, but I don't have it yet? It's this watch and this watch, and then I could get these and make it a collection and then just have all the watches. It's a completely different mindset. So while there's not necessarily anything wrong with having wants, there is something wrong with having unlimited wants.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, the perspective I maintain is that even like if you have, and I'm not saying it's like wrong or that I'm judging anybody who does it. Like it's a very natural human thing to occur. But like even when you are like, it'd be really cool if I could get this nice watch, and you're like, wow, I really want this nice watch. What you realize then is you build like this thing up in your head, and then you actually get it, and then you still feel the exact same. You're like, huh, well, why the hell, why did I worry about this? Like, you know, what do I do now? And it's the same thing I think that celebrities feel and people who are wealthy feel, like when you meet all of your goals and like you can buy anything and you're like, well, what do I do now? Like I feel the same. This isn't how I built it up in my head. And so it's that idea, which we'll constantly stress, of like finding that natural state of joy within yourself, finding how you're content, finding how you're happy, and then just moving throughout life with that mindset, right? With that mindset, no matter what happens with possessions, because they're indifferent, right? So like, if I were to use your example, right? If I wanted a nice Rolex, but I'm like the most miserable person in the world, right? If I work really hard and I go get that Rolex, I'm still going to be miserable. I'm just going to be miserable with a Rolex now. And that's worth like plus whatever the dollar tag is. But again, who cares about the dollars if you're still miserable? So the perspective I have is I agree with you. Like, it's not wrong to want something. It's not wrong to like have a few wants here and there, have a goal of like, you know, this is like my dream car or something. Like, this is my dream house, and it'd be really cool if I could get it one day. That's fine. Like, having some goalposts that motivate you to go work to get them is great. But you don't want to do that at expense of like figuring out who you are and how you're content and, you know, how life makes you feel joyful, because there's too many people nowadays that do that. And so it's very easy to fall into that trap, right? Of like, well, I feel terrible, but if I work really hard and I get these nice shiny things, they're going to make me feel great. Money does not buy happiness. It buys you experiences that can give you happiness. That's the ultimate perspective here. So don't view possessions as something, anything more than indifferent, or else you're not living up to being a stoic minimalist. So that's how you do it. It's just a mindset based, right? So when you see that ad on your phone and it's like this really nice thing, don't think like, wow, I really need this, or it's going to make me feel a certain type of way. No, just say, well, this is a cool thing that's worth whatever the price is. Awesome. Maybe I can afford it. Maybe I can't. Oh, well, like if I can't afford it, great. If I can't afford it, okay. Maybe I'll work to get it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll prioritize other things. But having possessions be your end all be all, which there's too many people today who that is their mindset, is a terrible way to go about life. And you'll notice in my metaphor I used with money, again, it's about experiences, right? It's about people and experiences. And money buys you certain experiences. That's why we mentioned that, you know, you have to be financially free. You have to buy your freedom nowadays. It's because, you know, there are restrictions in place by systems that we won't talk about in fear of, you know, bad things happening. But those systems are in place so that you have to pay money to get these really great experiences. And that's not to say that like if you don't have any money, you can't find experiences within your life that make you extremely happy. Both Mateo and I are not extravagantly wealthy. I feel like we're both pretty middle class, average American citizens, right?
For now.
For now, yep. Manifesting the future, we're going to be top 1%. But for now, you know, we're pretty middle class, and there's still experiences that I feel like we both can say like we've had that aren't about money, aren't about possessions, aren't about anything materialistic, but like still provide such joy just because you got to experience them. And I think those experiences are what we should cherish in life, not the things that we get to buy or we get to possess, because like they make no difference. They make no difference on your internal state, and they make no difference on how that internal state is projected to the world. And those are the two most important things in life.
Well, yeah, and you see people go around and they're like, you know, the videos of people with microphones, they go around in public asking people questions. There was this one that I saw, and they went around to people and they said, would you take $1 million right now? And everyone was like, yeah. And then he was like, would you take $1 million right now, but you don't get to wake up tomorrow? And everyone's like, no. So it just goes to show no amount of money, no amount of things or cars or clothes and whatnot, status, fame, is worth more than your life and what you have and the people and the true simple things that are in your life. It's super tough now, I think, as well with social media to avoid consumption, because I mean, with social media, one, we put a lot of emphasis on, oh, I have more followers than you, so I'm really cool. It's about more, you know, it's about quantity over quality, which sucks, because then you get on social media and you see your favorite influencers and they have this and this. You're like, oh, I want this and this. And then you're like, oh, I'm still nothing like this person that I look up to despite what I have. Like you said, you know, you are miserable and then you buy a Rolex and you're still miserable, but you have a Rolex. It's like, so what? People say, I'd rather cry in a Ferrari than in a Camry. And I'm like, yeah, but I'd rather be able to stop crying in my Camry than keep crying in my Ferrari. You know what I mean? So it's all about your perspective. It's really just about not wanting more all the time. I think the minute we kind of step back and just look at the things we have and appreciate it. And this is why we did an episode on gratitude. I think it was back in season 1 that was about, you know, every day you wake up and you write down 5 things you're grateful for. That's a great step towards a minimalist mindset, is you wake up and you say, wow, I have a roof over my head. Like I have, my parents are healthy. I have running water. I'm not going to bed hungry, and my house isn't getting bombed. Like I'm really thankful for what I have. I'm very thankful to be safe and healthy and happy. Then you if you practice and you keep repeating those things to yourself every day, and you write five things you're grateful for down every five things that you're grateful for, you write those down every morning. Eventually your mindset starts to shift, and you walk throughout your day and not wanting things because you're content with what you have, and you're very grateful for the things that you have. I think a big thing with overconsumption is it stems from a lack of gratitude. We're not grateful for the things we have, or at least we don't take the time to really sit down and be grateful for the things we have. So we want more because we think that more is going to give us that feeling of, you know, fulfillment, and then we'll be grateful for it. But if we don't actually sit down and take the time to value and cherish the things that we have, I mean, like that quote said, if any half awake materialist knows, the things that he holds have a hold on him, right? The things that we own begin to really own us, and they really begin to dictate our next move, which is buying more. So if I had to give a closing piece of advice, I guess it's really just a mindset shift. Minimalism isn't hard. And that's not, and like you said, it's not saying you have to go and donate everything and get rid of everything that you have. That's cynical. It's not good. But you should if you have way too many things, really go through them and say, oh, I wear this a lot. I love this. I haven't worn that in a year. So I'm going to give that to someone who might need it. And that's a really good feeling, by the way, is like going through your closet or going through your stuff and just getting rid of stuff. And then you have an empty closet. You're like, oh, I feel so refreshed. Everything I love and need is right here in this little space. It's refreshing. I feel like the more cluttered your kind of life is with materials, the more cluttered your mind is. And once you kind of get rid of those things, you can even think clear. It's kind of like how when you go home to a messy room, your room feels loud, if that makes sense. And if you've ever had a really messy room, you know exactly what I mean. Like you have a super messy room, your mind's like, oh, my room's so messy, it sucks. And then you clean your room and you're like, that's nice. That's amazing. So it's the same thing with minimalism. The less things you own, ultimately, the less anxious you'll be, because you won't have to worry about keeping track of all these things. You've got the essentials, and those are going to look different for everybody. I mean, for me, my essentials are gym stuff and just a couple pairs of nice clothes, man. That's really all I need. It's just some gym clothes and some everyday clothes that I literally wear multiple times every week, every year. So it's simple. Keep it simple and just don't go seeking more. Really value the things you have and take good care of them. And that's how to be a stoic minimalist.
Yeah, one quote I think is very fitting to end today's episode with is from Marcus Aurelius, when he says, "Very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself and in your way of thinking." And so if I have any advice here, I think you hit on it crucially. In our gratitude episode, we talked about journaling. And I think journaling is actually very important here, very easy step that you can take to kind of address this issue. And it's, you know, like you said, when you clear out your closet, I think you can do this with journaling. Just reflect on your possessions and your relationship with all of your possessions. And I think what people will come to find, especially those who journal more often, is that this is a very effective way of decluttering and getting rid of things that you don't necessarily need. So that's my kind of advice here. Is I said at the beginning of the episode, I promised we'd give some like practical advice of how to get to a stoic minimalist mindset. And I think journaling is a crucial aspect of that. And if you're not a journaler, then just do what Mateo said, right? Go throughout your room, see, you know, look at this shirt and say, you know, when's the last time I wore that? Look at all of your material possessions, and you'll find that you can get rid of a lot of them without losing any part of yourself. And I think that's something crucial. And what you'll find is what Aurelius said, right? Through all these possessions and all these status kind of things and things that say you need to go get more, none of that makes you happy. What makes you happy is in here and up here. And you need to clear that and clarify that by getting rid of all the material possessions around you, which kind of confuse you and make you chase more. So do that through journaling, do that through whatever process in your life will help you declutter. But that's how you get there. And that's how you become more fulfilled than a stoic minimalist. So with that being said, Mateo, you got anything to add?
The biggest thing is just detachment, ultimately. Detaching from things and attaching yourself to the things that are eternal, right? Like people and your relationships and your family and the people you love, the things that matter, the things that are worth more than money could buy. So those are the things worth being attached to. And anything that you can pay any amount of money for, it's not worth it. It doesn't define you. It's not a part of you. It simply is just something that you carry along that can be let go at any point. So like you said, there's our practical advice and our insight on being a stoic minimalist. And if you don't have anything to add, with that being said, this has been the Gen Z Stoic Podcast. And thank you for listening. We will see you all next week.
Happy Men's Mental Health Month.